Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go. When I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. And you make everything all right.
And welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould, Fran Ginsberg. I'm Bob Ginsberg. Nice to have you with us tonight. Tonight's topic is going to be grief and mediumship, the effects on grief that mediums and mediumship can have. We've got lots to talk about. As soon as Fran gets us caught up, I should mention that tonight's sponsor is L&R Productions, and you can find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. Fran?
That's good. Okay. Well, let's start off by telling everyone there's three ways to show us that you like Signs of Life Radio. First, go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. Two, use the donate button on any of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a little space to add a comment on what you love and what you might not like so much about the show. And three, remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 1,000 online stores like the Apple Store, Drugstore.com, Old Navy, Petco, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Grief Transformation Weekend, July 26th to 28th, 2013, will be at the Guest House in Chester, Connecticut. First 50 reservations will fill this intimate retreat escape with like-minded people seeking to maintain their relationships with those who have crossed to the other side. You will enjoy the weekend with Dr. Garrett Jackson, Paul Alexander, Dr. Betty Kovach, Doreen Malloy, Rebecca Hanlow Cicero, Laura Lynn Jackson, Dave Kane, and our healing Reiki team of volunteers. Just go to the website. The reservation page and the information page is already up, and you might want to work quickly on making your reservations because there are only 50 spots here. Also, save the date for our annual conference this year in San Diego, California, November 7th to 10th, 2013. If you're interested in volunteering, please send an email to volunteers at foreverfamilyfoundation.org and put San Diego Conference in the subject line. Also, include a short paragraph of why you wish to help and if there are any specific areas in event management that you have experience with. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. And with that, I'd like to welcome our newest businesses to our show. The music of Paul Alexander brings hope and comfort to all and can be found at www.griefsong.com. Community Family Growth Services is on the web at cfgs.homestead.com. A lawyer presents The Evidence of the Afterlife, a book by Victor Zammit, can be, you can visit his website at www.victorzammit.com. And Garrett Jackson Hypnosis can be visited at www.garrettjacksonhypnosis.com. And lastly, our newest member, Transitions LLC 23 with Robin Murray. And that's the end of my announcement.
Well, thank you. And as we mentioned, tonight's topic is grief and mediumship. And you've heard it here and elsewhere over the course of time that perhaps a belief in the afterlife is the most effective form of grief therapy. We've talked about that a lot. And mediums certainly play a big role. So I was thinking about that, and I remember when I first went to a good medium, which is well before the foundation, and I went as a, I went because Fran dragged me to go. I went as a skeptic, but an open-minded skeptic. You know, I was willing to try anything, you know, to determine, you know, if my daughter still existed. And so I walked away. I got this very evidential reading with, you know, three very specific pieces of information, and I walked out of there. And I remember saying, well, there's something to it. I can't say that I, at that point, it gave me a glimmer of hope. I'll admit that. It did give me some hope. But in my case, it spurred me on. It was like a catalyst to learn more. So it spurred me on to other avenues of investigation. And I was wondering what the thoughts were, you know, of you people here in this panel on that. Do you think that people start off with mediums and that, you know, some just stay with mediums, but others want to learn more, so they want to learn about near-death experiences and deathbed visions and all that? I mean, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it seems that once the medium kind of opens the door, it's only natural to want to go through the door yourself and see if you can communicate on your own or you can recognize things. And I certainly have experimented with meditation and different forms of trying to understand about the remote viewing and automatic writing and things like that. In a reading with Teresa Caputo, she asked if I did automatic writing, and I said I hadn't, and she said that, oh, you really should, because you probably could do that. And, things like that get you going. And but I've certainly seen others who have just go to the mediums, and then they want to go back to the mediums.
Right. Well, the first time you went to a medium, and I don't know if did you go together, Melissa and Anton?
I think the first experience with the medium must have been at one of our events.
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely one of the events, whether it was the big one at CW Post or the Night of Mediums.
Well, you weren't, or were you, grieving at that time?
We were just curious. Actually, right. We went to Westbury to see John Edwards do his thing before we had gotten into the... I had had an experience with spotting the number 1111 for years. And then in Maine, I had an accident where I actually had 1111 scarred on my body. And so I knew something was going on, and I wanted to know why and what it meant. And so that was what got me to go to the John Edward thing, thinking that in a hall of 3,000 people, he'd say, all of a sudden he'd go, hey, you there, what's this? Right. And he'd tell me what was going on. But
you were seeking, you know, validation for a personal experience
exactly.
That you had. And then, you know, so I received this information from a medium, which was pretty significant, and I couldn't figure out how she could have gotten that. So then I wanted to figure out whether this was a coincidence or whether there's anything that supported it. So I think that's a path that many people take. So I could have been, what do I do? I mean, I can't say that medium reading, if I left it the way it was, would have changed my life. But it did, as I mentioned, give me, you know, a little bit of hope. And then the question is, how do you reinforce that hope? When somebody goes to a medium and they get a really good evidential reading, do they ever stop right there and that's, you know, their lives are changed? Or do most people go on to other mediums, you know, and then does it change? I mean, Fran, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that there are, and you don't hear about it much, but I think there's a good number of people who go once, and they're seeking evidence, and for them, the evidence that they get is substantial, and they don't go back again. I mean, going to a medium is expensive. Also, we're in a society where you're taught to fear this stuff. So I think, you know, you got to work those factors in there when you're trying to draw conclusions about the general population.
Yeah. I do have a story that I've told on the air before, but it's appropriate right now, is that when my father passed away and my mom was left behind, for the first year after he had passed, she had absolutely no interest in anything. She was a churchgoer. She had a lot of support and friends around her and all that, but she just, you know, she was, his memorial service was 60 years to the day that he proposed to her. So it was, you know, a long life and a very happy one, and one that, you know, like most of us, they didn't want to go any other way. That was fine for them. And we took her, after about a year, we took her to a night of mediums at a Forever Family Foundation event, and she got a reading that literally blew her mind. And the very next day, she was a different person. It made her realize that, okay, there is more going on here, and I will see him again. And her life changed.
So there's an example of somebody, you know, where the medium reading manifested in a life-changing experience. And certainly there was no traditional therapy that would have done the same thing.
Absolutely.
Your mom, I mean, you know, they would have given her some medication to help her cope. And so that truly was a blessing. And I'm sure there are many more examples like that. We're going to, I know that we also have some callers, but we're going to go to a short break. And when we come back, we're going to get right back into this topic. And for our listeners, if you've had a medium reading that you felt had an effect one way or another on your grief, we'd like to hear about it. And you can give us a call at 1-888-627-6008. So stay with us, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Paul Alexander, singer, songwriter, and licensed psychotherapist, created GriefSong.com after working in hospice providing care to bereaved families. The music of GriefSong.com offers music to support, nurture, and acknowledge the landscape of grief. Many have used Paul Alexander's music for inspiration, memorial services, and comfort. Visit GriefSong.com to hear some of the music available. The sounds of hope and healing.
Wow. When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about the effect that mediumship can have upon grief. We'll go to our phones soon. I wanted to ask, you know, our panel, what do you think, if given the choice, would be more effective to grief, to have a reading with a medium or to have a dream visit?
Wow. Both are great.
Well, I think beneficial. I would go with the medium because you get the dream and you wake up and think it was just that, a dream. Oh, well, it would have been nice if that really was the person. And, you know, where we can recognize the clarity of a dream visit unless you know for sure that you're getting a visit. You just think it's another dream, whereas when a medium sits there and pulls out something out of the air that no one but you could possibly know, then there's nothing like that.
What about if you have the dream visit and then you go see a medium and the medium says, oh, and he says he visited you the other night in your dream.
Well, then that's a double whammy.
So extra healing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what Bob was saying before, that the medium is just one out of many, many ways that you can develop and connect spiritually. And as many as you can incorporate into your life, the better off you'll be.
So let's take that one step further, an evidential mediumship reading or seeing your loved one as an apparition.
Well, my mom, one who had the reading I just talked about, had woke up from a nap, and there was my dad kneeling on the chair next to her with a big smile.
Okay, that was after she had gone to a medium.
That was after
whatever. She became a believer.
So I wonder if that had, it's interesting, because if she had experienced this vision of your dad, and never, still being relatively closed-minded, you know, because of a church background and so forth, would she even have acknowledged it? You know, did the mediumship reading open her up?
I think so. I think the medium reading probably opened her up, but knowing my dad, he probably still would. I mean, she would have seen him, but how she would have reacted
might have been quite different. She might have gone for a blessing, then.
If she didn't already know that we were believers and interested in all of this, you know, would she have even told us?
She might not have.
She might have thought we were, she would think she was crazy.
Do you want to take a phone call?
Yeah, let's take Stella from Long Island. She's on line two.
Hello, Stella.
I am here. How are you?
Oh, good. Welcome to the gathering. And do you have something you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I'd like to share my story. My boyfriend that I was living with passed away 3 years ago. And I went to a medium because I had gone previously, and I know that you can communicate. And I had some questions to ask, and he had apparently some questions because of what things that were going on. I didn't go to his funeral. He wanted to know why I didn't go to his funeral. I wanted to know why he didn't update his will. I mean, there was just a lot of unanswered questions, and we were able to have a one-on-one conversation through this wonderful medium. He also told me that he had been with me and playing with my granddaughter's toys. He sets them off, but he said that I wasn't aware that he was doing that. So from then on, I started paying attention, and in the last 3 years, whenever he wants to say hello, he just, whether the granddaughter's there or not, the toy will go off, and I will know that it's him, and I just talk to him. I tell him I love him, and I talk to him. So it's continued to be a communication. Whenever he wants to say hi, he can say hi. And I think the whole idea of going to a medium is great because they have things they want to say to you just as much as you might want to say something to them. You just might want to once in a while say hello and I love you.
Right. So, yeah. So with after that first experience with the medium, I mean, did that give you hope? Did it have an effect on your grief?
It did, because I knew that he was never really gone. He's not gone, you know. He still exists.
Yeah.
Personality came through, and it was just nice to know that he's still alive, you know, and that I can just reach out and say hi, and I love you, and he'll hear me.
Right. And then we were just another example of what we were just talking about, where the reading then opened you up to other communication afterwards. So the effects of that reading were long lasting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I like the point she brought up about his personality coming through, because I think in the best readings, that's the most evidential for me, in a lot of ways, is when, you know, you can come in and tell facts about a person, but when they start, when you start seeing their sense of humor and what, that you get a sense that it really is the person by their personality, it's even more comforting that even after death, you're still you. And, you know, you just don't have your physical body, but you still have, you know, what you think is you.
It's a good point, because a lot of people fear, even if they believe in an afterlife, they fear that they're, like in the Eastern philosophies, you know, that they merge into a greater consciousness and not necessarily retaining their own identity. And we think of what really survives. Well, it's your personality that survives, as you said. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why mediumship readings bring through, you know, personalities. It's evidence that we do survive intact with quite a number of memories.
I wonder if, as time goes on, because those of us communicating with the loved one eventually will be on the other side too, and we are not hearing through mediums from our great-great-grandfathers or mothers, we wouldn't be able to identify them perhaps anyway except for doing some family history. So maybe then at a certain point, maybe we do merge. Maybe. We've elevated ourselves enough.
Well, if you believe, you know, a lot of the channel reports talk about these various spheres of advancement, you know, when you advance to one realm after another realm, different frequencies, different types of existence. And I often wonder about what you just said, because, you know, how come I never heard, I was very close to my grandmother, how come I never heard from her, you know, or you know, both my grandmothers or my grandfathers. But then, of course, you know, as you said, it's been, of course, time doesn't mean anything there, but in these earth years, it's a long time, and maybe they've advanced. But also, if they did come to me 30 years ago, I would not have acknowledged it or recognized it, because I didn't believe in any of it.
And that's exactly why they didn't come.
Right, because, you know.
what we are learning is that there has to be also a need to hear from them. there's got to be a reason for them to spend their precious non-time on the other side trying to figure out a way to get through to you, medium or no medium. So, yeah, if you're not missing your great-great-great-grandmother, you know, they've got other things to do.
Yeah, but then again, when my grandmother passed, I had just been in the hospital spending time with her, you know, and I was deeply affected by it, so I did want desperately to hear from her, but I didn't think the possibility of hearing from her was not in my frame of reference.
So,
you know? So maybe she was.
Yes. Maybe she did, and didn't pay attention.
I didn't pay attention.
Maybe there were a lot of signs that you just didn't see because you didn't.
She was saying, you thick-headed son of a...
Well, it's another thing to think about here is that, you know, we're in a mode of thinking that, you know, there's our physical existence, and then there's heaven or hell or whatever, and the more I have read and seen and experienced, I realize, you know, death is not the be all and end all. I mean, once we shed the mortal coil and go on to the next phase, that's not it, you know. And there are other phases. Maybe that's a different kind of life that you'll pass from in a millennium or something, and then you'll go on to the next phase. And there are. And just as we have to learn how to walk, learn how to talk, when you get to the other side, you have to learn how to use a bodiless energy, and you know, and then just explore and all the different things you want to do. So there's other reasons. A lot of people. I mean, my mom kept saying, "Well, you know, my dad appeared before me. I'd sure like to see him again." You know, and you know, so. For the rest of her life, she was hoping that he'd come again. So, yeah. You know, it's.
I think you hit the on the head with the exploration, because, you know, if you have all this exploration to do, well, you know, staying in constant communication with those in the physical from that perspective doesn't mean too much, because, you know, in a blip, we're going to be with them anyways, and they've got a lot of other things to do. So.
Right, and that's also the concept. The physical existence is the least enlightened place to be.
Right.
They are energy of light. And depending on how evolved that soul is, would dictate how far into this enlightenment they are. So if you imagine it as a linear thing, which doesn't exist on the other side, but that's a very long map quest route to come back to this existence, if it's a highly enlightened soul.
And what we've heard is that the next level is brilliant and beautiful and bright, and everything moves at, you know, 1,000 miles an hour. You know, my father explained it, everything goes with the speed of a jet airplane around here. And to come back and spend time with the physical, it sounds dull and boring.
Yeah, it's kind of like going down to Florida and being in a flea market with 690-year-old people, and you can't get by them because you want to walk faster.
So, are you saying like the airplane is like an early bird special?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to take another call?
Yes. We could take Doreen from New Jersey online, too.
Oh, that's bound to be good.
Doreen?
Hi there.
Is this Doreen Malloy? I know
this
Doreen name.
Hi, Doreen.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. And I'm glad you decided to call in, because we'd like to get your perspective. You know, the topic of the show is the effects of grief, the effects that mediumship can have on grief.
Right.
I know that as a professional medium, you're very careful to tell people that you are not acting in the capacity of a therapist. You know, you're not meant. But
right,
however, you could say whatever you want, but the work that you do is very instrumental in alleviating people's grief. So, I mean, how do you balance the two? When you're giving a reading, are you also cognizant of the fact that you're helping their grief?
Absolutely. You know, I'm so glad you guys did this show, because one of the things that I wanted to share with you tonight, and this is one of the reasons that I called in, is you know, when we're typically, any one of us who are doing this work as a medium, of course we're trying to, you know, help people resolve their grief. We're trying to help, you know, facilitate some level of healing for them. And, of course, we do that by providing, hopefully, we provide some sense of evidence of survival of consciousness. But what I find is so interesting during my readings, any mediumship reading I do, it's usually when I get into the type of information that the deceased people will show me that makes them a little bit feel a little bit lighter, or it makes them laugh, or they show me their humorous side, you know, and all of a sudden everything begins to shift. You know, and of course I do this work because, you know, I always hope, my greatest hope is always that at the end of a session, you know, with someone that they're going to feel a little bit better than they did before they started the session, you know. Mm. And I noticed that once we get to any elements during the course of information that they're sharing with me that helps them to smile and also helps them to know that their loved ones are still with them. They can see us. They can hear us. You know, they're still very much connected to us. They're very much around us. I just want to share a quick story with you because this sort of thing happens actually for me all the time in my readings. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody here in person or if it's someone on the phone. I was doing a phone reading for a lady this week, and in the midst of the reading, I was connected to her sister who had passed on the other side, and her sister just started to laugh, and she's showing me herself laughing, and she holds up a purse for me, a lady's purse, pocketbook. And I said, why is she holding up this purse? And she's laughing like crazy. And the woman started laughing, and she said, oh, my gosh. She said, I just went to the store yesterday, and I just bought two purses, and I'm trying to make up my mind which one I want to take back. And I've been staring at both of them all day. And with that, the whole conversation shifted. Because she knew in that moment in time that her sister was so connected to her. She saw everything that was going on. She knew what she was doing, and it just lightened the mood, you know. Mm. And so it's things like that that when I'm doing a session really, to me, helps people to resolve some of their grief because in that split second it can really shift, you know.
Yeah,
and this sort of stuff happens all the time. That's like just the most recent one, you know.
Mm. It's interesting that you refer to it as the people become lighter, you know, because that's essentially, yeah. You know, grief is such a dark, dense place to be, and the shedding a little light, even metaphorically speaking, is pretty good. I know that your work is a little bit different. In case our listeners don't know, Doreen Molloy is also, in addition to being a certified research medium, is a certified grief recovery specialist. I should mention her website is DoreenMolloy.com. So, being a grief recovery specialist, does that come into play when you book a reading for somebody in a session, or is that something that you do one-on-one without doing a reading?
Well, yeah, it could be both. I mean, okay. There are people who actually request that we keep the focus during the course of their session on grief recovery, and mm-hmm. I will help them through that process and, you know, show them certain exercises they can do and actually take them through some of that process during the course of their reading. Other times, if somebody is not requesting that, but let's say, for instance, they schedule a mediumship session with me, but they happen to be in a very deep level of grief, you know, and I can hear this in their responses to me. And, you know, maybe the person that they lost is very, very recent, you know. What will happen for me because of my training in grief recovery, it really kind of helps me to know how to speak with them, how to maybe deliver the information in a bit of a softer way or in a way that's going to help them to receive it better. So it kind of works both ways. I mean, I think my training in grief recovery has helped me in terms of how to talk to people. But other times people really do want to keep the focus on that. They're more interested, for instance, in their own recovery process and what they can do to help facilitate their healing as opposed to, you know, just hearing from their loved ones in the afterlife. It's kind of a combination process oftentimes, though. you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that people? I mean, we talked about this a little bit. I mean, people receive a great reading and it's very evidential, and they walk out of there, as you say, lighter and on a high with quite a bit of hope. And in some cases, people report that stays with them for quite some time, and other people report that it wanes, you know, and then, you know, a couple of days or a week or a couple of weeks go by, and then the doubt starts to creep back in. And is that something that you recognize and see?
It is, you know. Yeah, it is, Bob, because I think what that has to do with, it's not so much about the reading that they receive. I think what that has to do with is the level of grief that they're feeling. Mm-hmm. I always try to share with people that everyone's grief is different. Every level of grief is different, and every loss we have is different. You know, most of us, we lose many people, you know, or at least several people in our lives that we've been close to. Our relationship with each of those people is going to be very different, so our grief process for each one is going to be different. You know, I think probably what you just described has more to do with the level of grief that they're going through at that time, where maybe it's so deep that even though they've had an evidential reading with a medium, a week later they're still feeling sad. They're still feeling a deep level of grief. It just really does take time, I think, to work through that process. You know, and it is different. I think for every one of us, it's very, very different.
Well, I thank you very much. We all thank you for calling in. We appreciate the work that you do for giving us your insights on grief. And I should mention again, your website is DoreenMalloy.com. So,
yeah, and I'd also like to mention that I do a lot of reading on the subject. And for our listeners out there who are interested in reading also and want to know more about mediumship and how and why it works, Doreen's book, Proof Positive, is one of the best. It really lays it all out, and it's an excellent, excellent book, so I recommend that.
It is a good book, but I'm awaiting Mass Deception. Doreen keeps putting that off for some reason, but I don't know.
I'm working on it, Bob. I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, we'll.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we look forward to that.
And we're going to see you at the grief retreat,
yes.
Are we not?
Yes, we're all going to see Doreen at the grief retreat, and anybody who's listening who wants to experience Doreen at the grief retreat, sign up.
That doesn't sound like, you know, if you want to come and experience Doreen Malloy, I don't know.
She was at the last one, and her session was spectacular.
Yeah,
I can't say enough good things about it.
And it's a perfect venue, and we're glad that Doreen is joining us because it is a grief retreat. So, and Doreen, of course, will have a dual role there, and we're appreciative of that. So thanks again, and take care.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
All right,
I look forward
now.
To seeing you guys soon. All
right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to continue with this conversation after the break, so stay with us. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, and take care. Bye.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We are talking about the effects of that mediumship can have on grief. And I understand we have another noted caller on the line, so let's bring on...
Dr. Julie Beischel.
Dr. Julie Beischel. Hello, Julie. Is that you?
It is. Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing? Well, we were just
good.
Talking with Maureen Malloy, and she was giving us her perspective, and I'm glad you were able to call in, because for those people that don't know, Dr. Beischel is co-founder of the Winbridge Institute, and she spent a good part of her professional career investigating the survival of consciousness hypothesis, and she's done a lot of work with mediums. And she's done a lot of investigation as to whether the evidence produced by mediums are real. And now she is embarking with her team on a new project called the BAM study. So would you tell us a little bit about that, since we're talking about grief and mediumship?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, these experiences that people are sharing and, you know, they're very common, and we did a pilot study where we collected survey data where a lot of people were telling us, yeah, my grief was changed by a mediumship reading. But I think where we are in the state of the world right now is sort of where acupuncture was 30 years ago. Like, people were doing it, but the mainstream mental health and in that case, physical, you know, physicians weren't taking it seriously or didn't know about it. And but now, you know, your insurance company will pay for acupuncture. So what we're trying to do with the BAM study, which is the first of its kind, is a randomized clinical trial of using a standardized grief instrument, having people fill out before and after a mediumship reading, and really collecting data on this topic, because until we, you know, can speak to the mainstream in the language that the mainstream understands, we won't be able to make any sort of policy change. So this is the first step. The BAM study, BAM stands for bereavement and mediumship. And we thought it was a good name because that's how it can feel when you lose someone, right? BAM, your life will never be the same from that point that the person died. You will categorize your life as before that happened and after it happened. Mm. So we thought that was a good name and easy for people to remember. And if people would like to learn more about the BAM study, they can visit afterlifescience.com.
That's afterlife. People can spell that if they listen to the show, and science.com. Julie, if the data when you complete these studies show that, you know, mediumship has a profound effect on someone's grief, I mean, what are the implications? What do you see going forward after the study?
Well, one thing, you know, as a scientist, one thing is that it opens up a lot more, if that is the case, if that is what the data show, it opens up a lot more questions, right? Who benefits most from mediumship reading after the death of a loved one? How long after the death is the best time for a reading? Another piece of it is that it will help us inform mental health professionals and mediums alike and the general public about those answers to those questions, you know, like just like you know, oh, you know, when I have a cold, then I should drink fluids for 3 days, or, you know, at some point, that sort of knowledge will be in the public understanding that, okay, someone died, that means I should wait this long, and then, you know, if I have this personality type, then maybe a mediumship reading would be good for me, and I'll see, you know, I'll ask my counselor about it, and she'll be able to refer me to a medium that she trusts, and when I am done with the reading, I'll be able to take the information back to my counselor and we'll be able to integrate it into my sessions. And, you know, it really opens up a lot of possibilities for the bereaved and the bereavement supportive community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of these things may be going on now in a limited basis, but, you know, I mean, your study can go a long way if that's what the data shows in opening things up and really getting some widespread recognition. So it's a pretty important work. Julie, we're going to get back to the calls, but thanks so much for calling in. Again, if you want to learn more about this study, go to afterlifescience.com, and if you want to learn more about Winbridge and the other work they do, you can go to winbridge.org. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Hey, Julian, you know, with the BAM that you're saying, because when you lose somebody, that's a BAM in your life, it can also be on the other end when you get that moment of enlightenment, when you see that it's real, that's a BAM moment as well. And I didn't get that in before she hung up, but maybe you can hear it on the delay.
I heard it. I liked it.
Yeah, I was thinking of Emerald.
All right. Let's BAM the next caller in.
Okay, well, we have Liz back online too.
Hello, Liz.
Hey, Liz, we missed you.
Hi. Yeah, I know. I my dog diverted me from the phone at the moment you picked up. Sorry.
Oh, eating your homework now.
It's nice to be on with all of you. I'm Liz from New York. I think you know who I am, right?
I believe we do.
Anyhow, I love the topic that you're speaking about, and I love what everybody really just said. I mean, between the pocketbook story, just knowing that, you know, my son's right here with me all the time was just great validation.
Yeah.
I also wanted to just mention, too, that, you know, when my son passed away a year and a half ago, and within less than 2 months, I was at a reading in a restaurant. Really, just my friends kind of set it up for me. And it really was pretty powerful, although I still wasn't, my feet really weren't planted on earth. So just reflecting back, though, I did get some bit of information. But I did have opportunity probably close to 8 months, almost 10 months after he passed, to have a private reading in a home with a few other parents, and an amazing reading that I had. And there was no doubt that, you know, my child was right there. So in my grief process, I can absolutely say that, you know what, having the opportunity to speak with somebody that could contact, be the contact for me, was an incredible relief for me and a validation for me, knowing that he is safe and he's okay, amongst many other things that I found out too. So it really, to me, helped me tremendously to have that part of the grief process, you know, in play.
And can I ask you, Liz, how did that great feeling, did that comfort stay with you, or did you feel the need then to seek out another reading, or how was the effect long-lasting?
You know what? That was a major reading I had. I also had one in between that was kind of okay, and I found that through one of my bereavement groups that I went to. I realized that, you know, the longer I waited, the more I was clear on the information I was getting. Another thing that helped me hold on to that was they taped the session.
Mm-hmm.
So I have tapes now that I can go back to and listen, you know, and it just kind of brings me right back there with him, you know,
in a much more physical way.
So that helped tremendously.
I was going to ask you that, Liz, because I happened to listen to a tape that I got 6 years ago, and it brought me right back, you know, to that great feeling, the warm and fuzzy feeling that they are still with us.
Yes, there was no doubt. So I think it's incredible that they're doing the work that they're, you know, that down the road they will be, you know, hopefully, you know, including mediumship in grief and bereavement work. You know, wouldn't that be nice, you know, it's actually part of the program, you know?
Yeah,
part
absolutely.
Of the process.
Liz, thanks so much for sharing with us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yes, I'll be catching up to you at the end of the month.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon David Mello, Dorothy Mello, George Daly, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Marianne Pierzga, Tracy Lee Nash, Flora Prisco, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Zolfata, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tina Jocelyn, Deb Martin, Tim Donahue, and Francis Mastracco. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.